What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
You know, Daryl, one thing that we both really share, and not that we have the same opinions on a lot of things,
right?
But one thing that we can say we have in common is we both love to travel. And so when I was looking at this, our guest's social media account, and I saw how much travel she does, that's when I really knew, oh my gosh, we have got to talk to her. And she's an optometrist, so of course, it's that much more fitting. So please welcome to the show, Dr. Jennifer Tsai.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been an honor.
Dr. Tsai, people do not know you already. You're like quite a celebrity within social media. When I was looking at your account, when I saw you were an eye doctor, I was like, oh my gosh, she does all this amazing stuff and she's an optometrist. So I'm in a little bit starstruck myself.
Thank you so much. That's really sweet. I never really thought about it that way. I think it was something that I just started initially, just sort of an outlet for fun. And I would post things that I did and activities and traveling. And it just kind of became something more once I saw that, you know, I could be more passionate about something and actually include optometry in there. It actually became something more special to me.
So let's dig a little deeper. Tell us about yourself and your background in optometry. We want to know everything from top to bottom.
Sure. So I am from Washington, D.C. That's where I grew up. And my family is still there. I attended undergrad at University of Virginia, and there I studied, I double majored in psychology and biology. And at that time, wasn't sure what exactly I wanted to do, but I definitely knew that I wanted to focus in healthcare. So I started to focus more on, you know, my chemistry classes, my bio classes, to see what exactly I wanted to do. And I decided to spend my summers actually working as a medical assistant. Every summer, I tried to do a rotation in a different specialty, just to figure out what type of specialty I wanted to go into. So I did dermatology office one summer, and the other summer I worked at a dental office. And I think it wasn't until I actually started shadowing a few optometrists that I realized I really enjoyed what they embodied and the lifestyle that they created and how they worked with their patients and how happy they were with their careers and their lifestyle. And so they all seemed like they were very well-rounded, you know, happy individuals and professionals, and they communicated very well with their patients, and they had a great work-life balance. And they also had a sort of fashion sort of aspect to it with the optical frames, which allowed creativity and business development, which I found really interesting. So I decided to pursue optometry, and then I attended Salus University, which used to be known as Pennsylvania College of Optometry.
Okay, let me find out, you represent PCO. I graduated from PCO as well, or Salus University is known as.
Really?
Yep, sure.
Go Salus.
When did you graduate?
I graduated 2014.
Awesome. Yeah, I graduated in 2011.
Okay, so I missed you. Well, you were there, so I was a freshman then.
Yeah, I was on rotations then.
You were gone already.
That's what's up. PCO representing today.
Right, you have to represent. So I did my 4 years there, and at Salus, you get to do basically a year and a half, which is why I chose the school. I thought it was great that they allowed you more time to sort of experience and actually be in the real world. And you could essentially choose where you want to practice and in what type of environment and field you wanted to go into. So I think that's where I kind of started traveling, is when it started. I think my rotations during optometry school.
All right. So when I went on rotations, I was at two clinics in North Carolina. And I know, Daryl, you were at least in one of
right?
them. So what kind of crazy traveling were you doing on your rotations?
So I tried to choose locations that maybe would put me in a situation where I would learn or experience something new. And I definitely wanted to have a taste of private practice, corporate, and also hospital settings. So there are a few that I did. You know, one was in back home in DC, where I worked in a group MD-OD practice. And that was different because I've never actually sort of lived in the city. So that was different living outside of home, away from my family, even though they were close by. And the second rotation I did one close by in Miami for Bascom Palmers too. And so that was a different sort of view on things. I also did one in New York at St. Albans Hospital, or VA Hospital. And I think it was from that move that sort of expanded my view on things, because it put me in an uncomfortable situation where I didn't really have any friends or anyone that I knew. And during actually the breaks in between, I think my first trip was to Thailand during my rotations. I somehow was able to sort of find a week off in between when they finished early. And I decided to just do a quick trip over there.
Cool. Was this kind of like a timeout or a mental health break to reset?
It was celebration for part one of the exam. And I think I was like, wow, I'm so happy that I passed. I'm going to sort of treat myself and do a trip over to Asia.
That's a good celebration, Daryl. So tell us about your practice now, because obviously your love of travel was born in optometry school, and that's something you've persisted through your early career. So how do you balance your current job setting to make sure you have time for travel?
I get this question quite a bit. A lot of people wonder how you're able to balance career and a hobby that you enjoy, like traveling. So for me, I did make a promise to myself early on before committing to any sort of career, especially healthcare, that I would never sacrifice something that I loved as a hobby. And really what it comes down to, I think, is, you know, if you want something bad enough, you do make it your priority, and you'll find ways to make things work because you're in charge of your own future and you make the choices to live the life that you love. And so for me, I knew that I wanted to get the experience of being the best, you know, most experienced optometrist, but I also wanted to be able to balance a work-life balance that I would be able to be a well-rounded practitioner. So when I first moved to New York, I think it opened up a lot of opportunities. I sort of did a year at New York Mount Sinai Eye and Ear Infirmary, and that's a hospital. I worked in the corneal refractive department with a few well-known doctors like Dr. Ritterban and Dr. Cedar. And there, I sort of delved into a lot of heavy disease. We saw a lot of PRKs, a lot of corneal transplants, a lot of LASIK procedures. I also did another year at the Brooklyn Eye Center. There, it was affiliated with Brooklyn Hospital. So there, it was a retinal disease center. We saw a lot of diabetic retinopathy, you know, things you would never see, like orbital fractures. You know, I was on call at night sometimes working in a hospital as an optometrist. And that was pretty neat to be able to see heavy disease early on in my career when I first graduated from school, because it allowed me to sort of build my experience. And so in New York, it's easy to have sort of part-time positions if you wanted to. So I was there part-time, and part of the time I was also in a private practice. And so that allowed me to be able to sort of travel a few days on the weekends and also be able to experience, you know, learning diseases and also being in private practice, because that's ultimately what I wanted to do. Eventually, I sort of switched into just full-on private practice. Once I had that experience under my belt, I have a schedule where I actually work sort of 4 days a week and then 5 days a week. And just that extra day frees up a lot of time for me to be able to do, you know, sometimes weekend trips if I wanted to. I would call off a day or two if I needed to have an extra time, extra days to go sort of out of the country.
So have you found, are you an employed OD currently under salary, or do you have work more like a per diem, or how do you work out the payment aspects of this?
I've tried both. When I first started out graduating from school, I was sort of like a contract optometrist. I chose where I wanted to work and how long I wanted to work in my hours, which sort of offered a stable sort of workday schedule, but it's hard to grow patient interactions and see returning patients based off of that. So currently what I do is I am a sort of a salaried or paid optometrist. I'm employed at a private practice, and it's quite a big one. It's called Grand Central Optical, and so we're in Madison. And there I see patients. Basically, it's a high volume practice. And when they come in, I have people who can fill in for me on the days that I don't need to work. But for the most part, it is for a salary practice.
So I mean, as a doctor that's been under a salary contract since the very beginning, I think, Daryl, you've been the exact same way. I sometimes stress myself out about asking for days off, about asking for vacation. Nothing's more stressful to me than to get like last minute notice that I have this great opportunity, something I really want to do, and then be like, oh, but I have to like embarrassingly ask for PTO to go do it. So it's right. Great to hear that, like, no, you know, there's flexibility in a salary position as well.
There's definitely flexibility. And I think what happens is, if you are in a private practice where you're working for someone, if you're able to show them that you are committed to work hard, you know, they'll see that in you and they'll respect that. So, you know, at the practice that I work at, I sometimes work, you know, I'll work 9 to 10 hour shifts so that I can afford to have a 3 day weekend instead of a traditional 2 day weekend. And sometimes I also contribute more to sort of medical commission. I'll work extra days for the days that they need. Sometimes the other doctor might, at the second location might call off days, and I'll work extra days there so that because I help out, they also help me out for the time that's lost.
That's excellent. So when you were negotiating your contract, did you put a priority in being able to set up like, I'm going to need a certain amount of vacation days, or how did you put that into a contract you negotiated?
I think generally I had just mentioned to them what's priority to me. I said, I'm a hard worker and, you know, I definitely achieve to be the best at everything that I do. That includes seeing patients, and that one of my passions is traveling. So I always make sure, is it a position where they allow me to do so when I would like? Obviously, there are time constraints that I'd like to follow, but luckily this place that I'm currently at, they already have a schedule in place where it is a short work week and it'll alternate with a longer work week. And it happens to be consecutive days off. You know, eventually I do plan on starting my own practice and that's in the works. But when you ultimately start your own, that's probably the best way to have that freedom as well, to be able to travel. I also am able to request to work more hours within a day. There's ways for you to structure your pay so that your pay could be based more on volume production and commission instead of dip per day.
Well, we're talking about your love of travel, and I think we're almost underselling it, because not only do you really love and have a passion for travel, but this is like a real business calling for you too. You're in social media account we were mentioning earlier, but great name, by the way, it's Dr. Jen and Juice.
Daryl, thank you.
I know you love that.
You already know, Jen. I love that name. It seems like you had some Snoop Dogg inspiration behind finding that name. Is that true?
Sipping on Jen and Juice.
Yep, yep. I know some of you baby boomers and Generation X's out there listening, like, what in the world is Jen and Juice? Well, it's a reference to a classic Snoop Dogg song, all right?
I'm from the 80s. That's when I was born, so yes.
That's what's up. I'm an 80s baby too. 1982 to be exact.
Yeah, so you know what? Like I said, like I started the site, my blog or the Instagram, it was purely just as a creative outlet. Like I enjoy traveling. It was something that was an equal hobby to optometry. And when I started it, I just called it Jen and Juice because I think, you know, Instagram, at the end of the day, it is social media. It's based on content and what you see. And I, you know, it's just, life is too short. I just figured, why not have fun with my name? And so it was always Jen and Juice. And that's what I posted under all my traveling lifestyle content. And I think about a month ago or so, I decided, why not show the other side of me? I am, you know, an optometrist. I don't see why I don't want to show that, sort of share that with everyone. I think it was more sort of a personal self-judgment, if anything. For the longest time, I had an inner debate because I wasn't sure if, you know, I was being professional or not, or in some shape or form. It was more of a concern that I didn't feel authentic to myself. And I'm sure all healthcare professionals go through this, where they're obviously great practitioners and they're great at their jobs and, you know, they work hard, but at the same time, they are human. They have life outside of their work. There is a balance. You know, they go out, they see their friends, they have partners, you know, they have kids, they have families, and they have hobbies. Some people love to play music. Some people love to cook. You know, some people are an artist on the side. You can be multiple things and you don't have to be just one dimensional. And I think that's what it came down to. I felt if they're both parts of me, why not allow myself to be a multidimensional person? Why not show it? I never fit the conventional norms anyway. So why start now?
So let's dive into the social media a little bit more. I mean, you're right. Totally killing the game right now. I mean, you have over 40,000 followers. You visited over 34 countries. And the way that you kind of fuse your social media with the countries that you visited is just phenomenal. I mean, like, you really know how to capture the image and just give the vibe of wherever you're at. How are you taking these pictures? Do you have someone always traveling with you that's like your photographer? I mean, how are you creating these amazing images?
I am a perfectionist, so
okay,
I think
I can
for
see
doing
that.
It for so long, I will, whoever I travel with, it could be friends, family, anyone, partner, I will tell them exactly where to stand, because I will scout out the area first and I'll bring my camera. And I'll look for the right lighting, the right sunset, and make sure the angle's right. And I'll tell them, hey, can you stand here and press this button? And so that's literally what I do. And it's the funniest thing, because it took me maybe a good like 5 years to train my mom how to do it, because she just had no clue how to use a DSLR. And half the time she pressed the button, she would capture her fingers in there.
Oh, wow.
So I would have like one good shot out of 1,000. But eventually, whoever I go on the trip with, whether it's with friends or family, they know what to do. I tell them, I'll just stand here, press the button, and they help me out with it. So it's great.
Awesome. Well, it looks like your latest trip was to Cape Town. Can you tell us about that experience?
It was an amazing experience. I think it was very life-changing. I told myself, you know, when I turn 30, there were very few things that I wanted to change in my life. And I wanted to go on a trip that I felt impacted me as a person and made me a better person. And I knew that before going to South Africa, that it would be a trip that would change sort of me as a person. And when I got there, it was a very humbling experience. I think meeting the people there, they were so friendly, seeing how people lived in their lifestyle. You know, they just worked hard and they made an effort to be very opening to treat people as family. And I think going into the poorer parts, like the townships, I went to a place that was one of my drivers that helped me out on the trip, which basically took us on tours around the city. He took us to his hometown and he said, this is how most South Africans grow up. We live in these townships where it's really segregated and we're separated from the rest of South Africa. And this didn't end up until recently, 10 years ago or so. And they're essentially like sometimes shacks. And he took me to actually his childhood elementary school. And I told him I wanted to go to a place where I could help donate and help out in any way that I could. And so he actually brought me to his school where he grew up and where his actually son went to school. And the principal there took us around and showed us, you know, into these classrooms. And I got to see how happy these kids were and in the circumstances that they lived in. And I think that it made me sort of appreciate things more and learn to be more humble. And I think it's really important because this impact can always make you a better person. That's so important to be a well-rounded individual. And that only can make you a better sort of healthcare professional because you learn to be more empathetic. You learn to be more compassionate. That was a life-changing trip for me.
This is so essential. I think Daryl and I, we're at similar points in our career. And I've been majorly battling burnout issues in the past, maybe even more than a year at this point. Like every single day, I hear my patients complain about the same things. And I can feel myself getting so short and impatient with them about why I can't. I understand presbyopia. I know it's terrible. Stop talking. Just let me fix you with these contact lenses, you know, but you can't do that. You need to let them feel like their voice is heard. And taking that time to reset and really think about the human people that you're interacting, connecting with, and you go back fresh and you can hear that same presbyopic talk five more times, but not letting yourself get upset that you have to sit through it again.
Right.
So, so good for you as the spiritual sense as an eye doctor.
Right. I mean, I think in general, like most people, I mean, when you repeat things, it becomes mundane. It is a day-to-day task. And sometimes it could get tiring. But one of the tricks that I learned is it's important to be in the present. It's very, very easy, especially in a high, you know, pace setting like New York, especially in Manhattan, to sort of lose sight of things. You're just jumping to the next thing, looking towards the future. Where are you going to go next? Who's the next patient you're going to see? And not really sort of focusing about being in the moment of where you are right now. And I think so throughout my work day, I will take some time to myself, you know, sort of tell myself, be present. What senses are you feeling? How are you feeling? What's going through your head? Are you present? Because if you're more present, that energy carries you throughout your work day. You know, if you're stressed out and you're not having a good day and, you know, you're tired of doing the same thing over and over again, it can sometimes sort of create this aura or a repetition of bad energy that sometimes can drain you out. And that can probably cause further issues.
Such good advice. I'm not surprised from looking at your Instagram photos that you're like an incredibly zen person when I'm talking to you in person as well.
Thank you. I try.
So curious, how did you get 40,000 followers? Can you put us on like some game today? Like, what are some tricks that you have up your sleeve that you could tell us about?
Some tricks. Let's see. You know, the funny thing is I actually didn't really focus on growing my social media presence until, like I said, a few months ago when it decided to combine optometry with traveling. But in the past, I think it's, you know, starting with a good keen eye of what aesthetically would be pleasing to the eye. So, you know, when you take shots, what would capture feelings? I think at the end of the day, it's a social platform. How can you connect to someone on sort of a more meaningful level where you can relate to their day-to-day lives or maybe things that they'd like to see? So I think when you capture an image, it's fairly important to capture emotion or sort of feelings. And I guess from then on forward, you know, it's learning about how to edit your photos so that you bring out the vibe that you want. Like if you're looking to bring out happiness or warmth, do you do more warm colors? Or are you focusing on sort of a clean look? So I think growing your sort of personality is really important because that'll carry out through your content. Other than that, I think, you know, tagging where you are and posting a lot of Insta stories about what you're doing. And I think also another thing is, you know, showing other people who are in the community more love. You know, if you want more love and you demand more love, show more love to other healthcare professionals. Show more love to other people that are doing the same things that you do. So I like to comment on other people who are doing the same things as I am. am, and seeing what they're doing and saying, you know, you're doing an amazing job too, because you get the love back what you give. That's another thing that I think helps. And I think also sort of being consistent, having content where it's, you're creative enough where you're doing different things. You know, if you post I stuff every single time, it can often get tiring, I guess, sometimes for people to see that. But if, you know, you show different sides of you, that you, you know, sometimes you show fun frames for the day that you're trying on, but at the same time, you might show products that you're using, that you're testing out. And then you do maybe some lifestyle things, like what you do for fun on the weekends. I think that sort of changes it up and gives your page more sort of a dynamic feel and more of character. And I think that's probably what helps grow content.
Yeah, I think we've all been so focused in the past couple of years of like, oh, you're a brand, build your brand, who are you? But like, we're seeing this embracing on social media being a true, well-rounded, authentic self.
Right.
While yes, it is a visual platform and it's always going to be like beautified, if you will, to express a certain thing. But there's still that feel of like, I'm a real well-rounded person with a bunch of different interests. And it's getting more of a, do you think more of a safe place for, let's say, an optometrist with a professional optometry account to share something that's a little bit more, what in the past we might say like, oh, should you be posting a picture like that? What are your thoughts?
I think that the way that things are trending, you know, especially with social media being such a big thing, it's important to sort of use that to, you know, your advantage, I think, to share with the world the things that you do. And it is tricky because, you know, one side of us, we do want to maintain that professionalism. But at the same time, you know, showing the world what you do, it's really important because I think it's important to brand yourself. You want to be a doctor that people are able to trust when they come into your exam room. They want to know that you're not just a sterile doctor who treats them all generically the same. You know, they hope to see that you see them as individuals and that you sort of have that connection with them. And I think branding is a very important way to show that, because it shows them that you know what you're doing and you sort of are multidimensional, like I said, and that's important. If you're really good at all aspects of your life, why would that be such a bad thing? It's even better to be able to show that than to just be good at one thing. And I think as a healthcare professional, if you're able to show that to your patients and to the audience, it only helps, and it helps you connect with other healthcare professionals in the field. It also helps you connect with other industries as well in the broader spectrum of like beauty and wellness too.
I know you were mentioning earlier, it was only recently in the past couple of months that you decided to introduce the fact that you're an optometrist on your very successful social media account, probably because of some fear of backlash or judgment. Have you received any negativity from the professional community about your account?
That was the biggest fear. I think one of the biggest fears was, am I going to be taken seriously for this? You know, if I tell people that I'm an optometrist as well, will people actually take me seriously? Well, you know, for the longest time, people just thought I didn't work, which is the funny part. You know, I would get so many questions, private messages from followers. Do you have a job? Do you even go to work? You know? And when I decided to post it, it was almost a sigh of relief. Like it was like a heavy rock off of my shoulders in a way. I was like, you know what? This isn't who I am. I'm going to show you. And you know, if you like it, if you do, that's great. If you don't, you know, I'm just going to be posting more. And actually, to my surprise, it has been taken in by the community very, very well. I think everyone has been actually surprisingly very supportive of me. So many people have reached out and, you know, congratulated me on sort of transitioning into this sort of healthcare brand lifestyle blogger. And people who, you know, I haven't heard from in a long time, healthcare professionals as well, have reached out and they're like, they actually look up to me and it's really inspiring. I get a lot of sort of personal messages from students, from other professionals, and they tell me that it's so inspiring to see that. It's really refreshing, and they are so happy to see that there's people out there who are doing the same things that they love, and it makes me feel more sort of welcomed, and it makes me really happy that I can actually make a difference in a way and help others, whether or not they're following the same path or not. So it's been great.
Well, if someone is hating, let them keep hating. What I say is just go ahead, take another trip, fly somewhere, and take even more pictures just to show the entire world how lovely your life is. I actually look forward to your post because I love to see where you're visiting and I learn about the countries that you visit as well. What's next for you in 2018? What countries or trips do you have in store?
As far as traveling goes, there are a few traveling plans set in stone. One of the sort of most recent ones that are coming up is a trip to Austin. I'll be attending the Daily Total Ones multifocal workshop conference there with them, visiting their factory. It's in Fort Worth, Texas, and I'll be checking out Austin. So that'll be fun. The next few trips that I'll be taking this summer will be visiting Tuscany, Santorini, Mykonos in Greece, Morocco, and possibly Dubai. So those will be fun. So definitely keep in touch and keep following so I can show you the content.
I love how you're like, I'm going to Multifocal Conference in Fort Worth. Oh, and yes, and then I'll also be in like Italy and Dubai.
That's like the perfect response for all those haters out there.
You gotta live life. This is your life to live, and you only live once.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
That's my motto.
For all those that are listening and following and they want to learn more about your brand and who you are, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Sure. You can follow my social media account on Instagram. The handle is Dr. Jen and Juice. So DrJenAndJuice. And I actually also have a lifestyle travel blog, and that's actually www.jinjintravels.com. And I have a professional Facebook profile. It's Dr. Jennifer Tsai, T-S-A-I.
Thank you so much.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.